This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
This is your life.
Here.
Yep. Yep. It's always hot in the studio.
It is.
92.7 WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning.
Yeah, in this hour, we're all going to get interrogated by each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I came to work today.
We're going to grill each other.
Right. And you're up first, John.
You're next.
What?
Yes. Oh, we're starting with you, pal.
Yep.
That's
your
outrageous.
Name's first in the show. Sorry.
It is. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can switch that around.
No. No.
You always wanted to be first.
No. Not this time. So.
All right.
John Peterson. Let's roll. This is your life.
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Let's roll it all back.
All right. Let's go back to the beginning, huh?
Yeah. Where were you born?
Let's see here.
And when?
Well, and why?
Okay.
And why?
Why was I born? Well, that's a damn good question. Yeah, I'm from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I've been Milwaukee for 30 damn years. And I grew up there. I went to high school there. I had fun there. And I couldn't. It was my first introduction, by the way, waking up to go to school.
Yeah.
My alarm clock radio went off, and I always listened to this one radio announcer in the morning, and he always had like this topic of some kind of law being debated in the state capitol.
Huh.
And I thought, oh, gee, that's a really good law. Why don't they pass that? Sounds like an easy one. And then the next morning, the radio would come on, and he'd say, that law failed.
Oh!
Wait.
And I thought, politics doesn't make any sense at all, and I tuned out of politics for many, many decades.
Wow. Who was this host? Do you remember the name?
Lee Rothman.
Okay.
He was just a regular guy, not a political guy in any way, but he just mentioned these stories about, you know, bills that were being proposed, and I always thought, geez, you know, this is logical. I'd go with that. And ever since then, I've always based all of my opinions on logic and what it does for society, and the cheapest way to accomplish what it does for society.
Yeah. Okay, now back up a second, because you glossed over a whole part of your childhood here. Like, were you the first? Are you the oldest in your family?
I'm a second child, so I have all of those burdens.
Yes.
So you have an older sister?
Yeah, my older sister was very dominating.
Well, she also...
She's a Mensa.
She's a Mensa. She outshined you. How frustrating could that have been?
It was very frustrating because my parents... In fact, Anne, my wife, still complains about this to this day, but they used to say I wasn't the smart one.
Oh, my God. They said it out loud.
They actually said it out loud.
Oh,
and she was
holy smokes.
She didn't like that.
I wonder why.
I got used to it.
Wait, I didn't care
anymore anyway.
What'd your dad do for a living?
My dad worked for the Wisconsin Gas Company.
Okay.
Yeah. And your mom?
And my mom started a real estate company of her own, and she was very successful. Wanted me to actually join the company and take over the business eventually, but no, I had to do my own thing. I had to see America. I had to hop on my motorcycle and cruise the roads of Wisconsin.
You did not.
And I did.
Yeah. You were a bad boy motorcycle rider?
Well, it was a...
You're such a dork now. I don't understand what happened.
It was a Sears 106.
Oh, yeah. Those are heavy duty.
I know.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
John, I ought to bring my motorcycle in and we can go for a ride.
We could.
Okay.
It was a crazy time. It really was. And, you know, I went to art school right out of high school and decided art wasn't my thing because I met a friend there who played guitar really well. And I liked to write songs. I didn't like to sing other people's songs. And he would put all that stuff to music. He would play the stuff. I came up with the tune and the lyrics, and I decided I wanted to be a songwriter and an artist, but that didn't work out either.
Ben.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I started working at factories.
Oh, yeah.
I worked a third shift factories. I had like two jobs, a book bindery in New Berlin and one in Waukesha, late night in a factory there. Union member, didn't know it. No one told me I was paying union dues or that I was a union member, but I made a lot of money. I bought the very first year Blazers came out, I bought a Chevy Blazer.
Wow.
I love that truck. I just love that truck. I wanted trucks for the rest of my life, but I changed that.
You got changed too.
Yeah, I went to Carmen Ghia's after that.
You rolled at Carmen Ghia once, right?
I did. Yeah. I was going to Arizona.
Wait, rolled it?
On a recreational trip.
What? Spinning out of control, rolling. Yes.
What?
Yeah, I was in Texas. They were just reconstructing some of the road work down there.
Okay.
And they had loose gravel on the side of the road. My rear tire caught the gravel. And all of a sudden, it just fishtailed out into the gravel area. And I was just sliding like crazy. And then I hit the pavement again.
Right.
I slid sideways onto the pavement, and the wheels caught, and it just kind of flipped.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't horrible or anything. It just stopped and flipped.
Of course, you were wearing your seatbelt.
It was a convertible, and we were wearing our seatbelts, yes. Oh,
wait. Lucky. I gotta dive more into that. A convertible, back then, they didn't have frames. It's just an open.
No,
how did you not get
the frame for the windshield?
Bar. Well, yeah.
Prevented
it from crushing.
Killing you.
But like I say,
unbelievable.
It just kind of rolled gently over.
Just like it was
the windshield.
Turning in bed.
Bent some of the framework and destroyed the soft top. So I had to just leave the car and
walk away.
Amarillo.
Wow. Okay, so how did you get into radio? Did you go to school?
Yes, after working at a car dealership as a parts driver, I thought, you know, this isn't going anyplace. So my mom was a big backer of anything I wanted to do. She was a mom, you know. Aww. She really believed in Johnny.
Yes.
And she said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I could go to broadcast school. And she said, okay, we'll pay for it. Go. And
wow.
It was a night class. And I went for 2 years. And as I have told the story before, my very first day going upstairs at night in the dark room of the lobby, and my teacher was on the couch, arm over his head, saying, I wish I'd gotten into real estate.
Yeah.
And that inspired me after that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make sure this happens for me.
Sure.
My mom does real estate. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
What was the name of the broadcast school?
It was the Institute of Broadcast Arts. They had one in Chicago as well. It was the home base in Chicago.
Okay.
And
how'd you get your first gig?
I don't know. I applied for work, and I got one in Waupun, babysitting automation, where you change the reels when you had to change the reels, and something went wrong. You dealt with that. But after that, my Carmen Ghia blew up. On the way up to Waupun in the middle of the night, in the snow drifts, it was a huge snowstorm.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I just gave up and I decided to maybe not get into radio. And after that, Waukesha. I went to WAUK, one of the civic media stations.
Oh my gosh.
And I ended up working there at Edwards Broadcasting, I believe it was called at the time. And what we played was elevator music.
Really?
Yes.
Your favorite.
It was really awful.
Oh, you didn't
and
like it.
All the people who are between jobs, by the way, got jobs working at WAUK.
Seriously?
Wow. Yeah, some of the underground radio stations.
Sure.
Two of the radio announcers who lost that station, WTOS, I believe it was, they came to work at WAUK as well. Hmm. So they had some underground guys working at a radio station that played elevator music.
It's good stuff. That's nice.
Yeah.
And so then,
you know, my teacher, my last year at broadcast school, that teacher became a consultant here in Madison at WWQM. And it was a top 40 radio station that played a hell of a lot of rock and roll.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And he said, why don't you go over there? They need some guy to fill in for their middays. And I did that. And after that, I just had more fun.
Right. You just hop from station to station.
And then I worked at all radio groups in town.
Right.
Right. And then then when he started buying up the radio groups, it became smaller and smaller. And eventually, you know, I just kind of called it quits.
Yeah.
Retired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you called me back.
I'm sorry.
Let's go on through that.
Well, I mean, you guys gave me my career. I should have mentioned that.
Yeah, let's get into that.
Earlier in this year, because I don't think I've ever said it on the air, that you guys started my, because I was working at a station, WORT, which is obviously a community radio station, not commercial, so not paying well. But you called me from MAD.
Yes.
When I was on the air on in mornings and you were mornings on MAD, you called me at the restaurant, Blue Plate Diner.
No, it was Cleveland's Lunch.
Oh, you first called me there.
Yes.
Okay.
You were there, and I thought, this is the coolest job in the world. If you're a radio announcer and you have
working
access to coffee and donuts,
right,
and you get to interview people every morning.
Yeah, just sit around and eat donuts.
I thought that was so cool. I had to talk to you about it.
And
then we called you up at WMAD.
So flipping adorable.
Yeah.
So adorable. And I think that, that's what got me my first commercial gig, because you got me on commercial air.
Yeah.
They didn't know me otherwise.
Now, I know it kind of broke the mold a little bit.
A little bit.
Know, one station calling another and simulcasting at the same time.
Never heard of that ever since and ever before.
Well, they
but
docked
then we,
me a pay for
you
a
know,
week,
we so. Lost touch with, I mean, we got fired.
Yeah.
Oh, they
and moved on.
They closed your station down.
Yes.
It went dark.
And then
went
we
off the air,
then we decided to take that format to Triple M.
We went to Triple M.
Oh, yeah. But then 92 came back as alternative, and that was me in the mornings there, too. I took your job.
That's right.
Right.
So that's why I called you for Civic.
Because you felt guilty.
Yes, I did.
Well, good.
Well, a guilt trip, that's always
that's a
best way to get a job.
Yes. Yeah, so we we had connected on Facebook somehow. I saw your picture because I knew you were working at WGN. And at the time, I was working in South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, that's right.
And I wanted to take a tour of WGN, and I was looking on their website, and I saw your picture or on your Facebook
page. I don't remember
you
ever asking me. I would have said yes.
Okay. I did connect with you on Facebook. And you were like, who are you?
I did not. I lie like a rug.
In any case, and that tour never took place. I was asking for a tour.
But that was, we just stayed in touch.
Yeah.
Stayed in touch.
You guys did, didn't you?
Over the years.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And here you are.
Yeah.
And John, in the afternoons, you also do a census.
I do. I go around Dane County and I ask questions in a survey that we have. And the census has like three or four different surveys all the time. So people are amazed that somebody's at their door asking for questions.
Of course.
Not good. Not this time anyway. Mm-hmm. You know.
Speaking of curious, that's you.
Well, guess what? We're out of time.
It is.
So thanks for sharing your life story with us.
So much more to say.
No, it's too late.
So many more things to reveal.
We are going to interrogate Sam next.
Yep.
Here on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Get ready, Sam.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is your life.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com. All right. Well, this time around, we are going to interrogate Sam Davison.
Oh,
I'm in the hot seat.
Yay, I get to be here for
I've
this.
I've been tied to the chair. There's a light over my face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you put the timer on here so we know what... How much time we have?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yep, start the questioning.
The expose portion of the John and Gordy Show.
And with the first question, John Peterson.
Yes. What is it like being a Gen Zer?
Well, what do you mean? I remember asking my dad when I was a kid, well, what was life like in the 80s? And he would say, well, it's just like now, but it happened back then. And that's all that I can say.
It's just like
when you were a kid, except it's happening now.
Right. How old is your dad? How old are your parents?
He is 54. Oh, my mom is two years younger.
My God, I could be your mother.
Well, okay, let's change the subject here. So where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in the Wausau Hospital, March 1st, 2001. In case anybody wants to know my personal information to steal my identity.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Yeah.
just gave out a little much, probably.
Yeah. All right. I grew up initially in Rothschild, Wisconsin, a suburb of Wausau. And then in 2004, we moved out to the country to a tiny town that like barely exists, Ringle. Highway 29 used to run through it until they redid the highway. Now that's why it doesn't exist anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. Ringle.
Yeah, my dad ran a lawn care business when I was a young kid, and that's why he wanted some more space for like all of his equipment and stuff, so he moved out there.
And did you participate in high school in all kinds of things? What kinds of things did you do after?
Yes and no. I was kind of all over the place. I wasn't big into sports, but I did track and field.
Of course you did.
I was a sprinter and a pole vaulter.
Oh, I want my daughter to do that. That is so cool. Wow. You got the body for that. You got to be lithe and fast.
I think that's dangerous, isn't it? Pole
vault? I fell once and almost broke my neck.
Oh, God.
Oh,
man. Was that in the backyard trying it out?
No. You got to make sure you fall right. So
on your back, the sack.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. All right. I was also in band. I was in band all through high school.
What did you play?
Yeah.
Clarinet.
Come
clarinet.
On.
Yeah.
That's where he met all his girlfriends.
Ah, yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
And then
romantic.
On to college?
Yeah. I initially went to UW-Stevens Point to be a math teacher and then met some people there who were into media. And so I got involved with radio there.
Oh.
Listen to people in media.
No. We're idiots.
They're dangerous people.
Yes.
They got bad advice.
Definitely.
Yeah. As your old radio instructor said, oh my God, I wish I'd gotten into real estate.
Exactly.
But COVID happened like midway through my freshman year.
Oh.
And so I was online, came back fall of 2020, was still online, and I was just kind of sick of it. So, and I had also met another person who went to UW-Madison, and I kind of decided to drop out for a while from Stevens Point. I worked in a factory for like 4 or 6 months.
Which factory? Is this the one where you were food processing, right?
Different one. Okay. I've worked here, there, and everywhere.
I bet. Okay.
Yeah. But ended up going to UW-Madison then, and that's how I ended up here.
Oh.
And didn't have a plan after I graduated, so I just stayed in town, and luckily this job fell into place at the last second.
So you got it in four years?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Wow. Even taking a little time off. Mm-hmm. Well, that pandemic. Holy smokes.
One thing I know about you is you're a Mr. Fix-It kind of guy. You've got that VW bug that you've been remodeling and fixing up.
Yeah.
You take movie projectors apart and fix them up. How did you get into doing all that? Was that something you learned from your family or your dad?
Lawn care, brothers? Fixing the machines that he had?
Well, he had like this big shop with a bunch of tools, so I had access to the things to take things apart.
ideally put them back together.
Right. Yeah, I think it was something just built into me, though. He told me a story when I was a toddler. He back in the 90s when he started this business, he had a bag phone that he took in the truck with him.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
when he got a cell phone, he gave me the old bag phone to play with as a kid.
Really?
And I tore it all apart when I was 2 years old.
Oh, nice.
Now, tell us about the time that the engine block almost fell on you and killed you.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
God.
Where you got your fingers stuck, because this was fairly recent.
This is a good story.
Yeah, not too long ago. Yeah. So I bought a used engine that needed some refreshing for my old Volkswagen. And I was cleaning some of the oil passageways that I could like have access to from the outside. And I had this engine propped up on two card tables.
Yeah.
Like it's a wide engine. So I had one half on one card table, one half on the other.
Because card tables are made for this kind of work.
They're notoriously strong. But they're not slippery on the top either, you know, where the engine might just slide
exactly.
off.
Not at all. Right.
Had a lot of support.
So I was laying underneath this thing in the space between
not enough
the tables.
It threatens your toes. Mm. Put your whole self in.
Right. So God. I had 250 pounds of metal hanging over my head. And I didn't have a tool to clean this oil passageway. So I used my pinky finger. And so I stuck my pinky finger into this little hole.
Yeah.
And it got stuck.
Oh, no.
And I was trying to yank it out. And I was worried I was, like, going to dislocate or break off my finger. I knew somebody who broke part of their finger off in high school. So it was, like, traumatic in my mind.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you think also, I can't wiggle too hard because
it'll
I'm under
it
a
off
card
table.
Table?
Yeah. Exactly.
Stack.
Yeah. Eventually, I kind of, it was like a Chinese finger trap thing. If you let off the pressure and just kind of twist it really, really gently,
yes,
then it'll come loose.
The panic swelled your finger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was there anybody else around that could help you or no?
I could have yelled for help, but I don't think anyone would have heard me.
Okay. Wow. Thankfully,
so
it all
you have a gifted life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very lucky.
So here you are today.
Yeah, producing.
We got a minute left. Any final questions?
No, I think that's.
Catherine, do you have any questions, John?
Let's talk about your girlfriend.
I think we'll have to save that for another time.
Yeah, another time. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. What are we going to hear coming up next? I think.
Oh, it's my. It's my turn to get in the hot seat.
Getting the lamp going.
Oh boy. All right. We'll be back with more of John and Gordy in the morning in just a moment.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This is your life.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning.
Good morning.
I love this.
I like watching Gordy mime the music.
Got my air guitar going.
Anytime you play the Beatles, you just melt.
I go into a trance.
He goes into a trance.
Yeah.
But this is one of the great instrumentals.
It is.
It really is.
How do I not know this song?
Because it was on the... It was in Magical Mystery Tour, just as some background music in this movie that they made called Magical Mystery Tour, which is pretty much a home movie that the Beatles made.
It's an insane movie.
It's a bizarre, not well-made movie. It was one of their few failures, actually, as far as a project.
But there are a lot
of great songs in there.
But a lot of memorable scenes, you know, when they're going down the staircase.
Oh, I know.
In Tuxes.
Yes.
That is just so cool.
Yeah.
For somebody who was obsessed with the Beatles in high school, when it was harder to get your hands on stuff, not like now, you can just stream it. So I don't think I can tell you I've ever seen a Beatles movie.
I've only seen it once or twice. It's really rare and it's hard to find. I don't think you can actually easily find it.
Even
today.
I watched a pirated copy once.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
You think everything's available on the internet? No?
I don't know about
through,
this one.
Through questionably legal means, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, I found so many different movies and such an array of television shows on something called Tubi.
Yeah, you mentioned Tubi yesterday.
Yeah, I'm just
week.
Like, I'm a little shocked and surprised. Although, they do have ads. So, there is a drawback.
Well, okay. this segment is not about you, John.
It isn't.
This Sorry segment.
About. It's about Gordy this time.
All right. Who's going to start the question?
Investigation.
Yeah. We have to talk about what? Young Gordy.
Oh, gosh.
Young Gordy Young.
Gordon.
Where are you
Gordon.
From? Where are you from, Gordy?
Where are you from, Gordy?
I was born in Binghamton, New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you moved from there?
Moved from there to Shenango Forks, New York.
You moved a lot, by the way.
Yeah, right? I'm going to go through the list.
Like every couple of years?
Every couple of years. It was a gypsy family that I was adopted by. And, we had a station wagon, and we just went from town to town selling beads and handmade woven blankets.
It was a wonderful life.
Socks. We sold a lot of socks.
A lot of socks.
No, we moved from Shenango Fort. When I was like 2 or 3 years old, we moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't stay there very long either.
You still have the accent from Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne, Indiana. The only thing I remember three things from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Yeah. And again, I was about 3 or 4 years old. First thing I remember was stepping on a tack going down the stairs in my bare feet.
Oh, God.
My dad grabbing me and turning me upside down on the couch and yanking the tack out.
Oh.
Said, "You got to watch where you're stepping." Like, okay.
Thanks, Dad.
I didn't put the tack there. Second memory was my dad was closing the garage door. It was a duplex we lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And he was closing the garage door, and he got his finger caught in the slats of the garage door. And I heard a bunch of words I had never heard before. And then
you thought you'd like that. Huh?
I thought, wow, what is that, a foreign language? But no, it was a bunch of swear. Yeah, and so I remember that. And the third memory I have is sitting around the dining room table, and my sister and my mom and dad, and Elvis Presley came on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
Really?
Hound dog. And my mom was dancing around the table, and my sister was bopping
Very
around.
Cool.
My dad was kind of just shaking his head.
I don't understand this.
Yeah, and that memory is seared in my head.
That's great.
I thought, I looked at the radio, and I thought, how is that happening?
Wow.
This guy is singing, and everybody... You know, he got everybody's attention.
Just motivates
and it
people.
it was rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from Fort Wayne, Indiana, when I was about 5, we moved to Barrington Woods, Illinois, which is outside of Chicago.
Oh, yeah, Barrington Woods, yeah.
Near Palatine. Lived there for a year, then moved to Warrenville, Illinois, when I was in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good school system, Wheaton-Warrenville.
Wheaton-Warrenville. Well, Warrenville was like Warrenville was like Mayberry back then. It was really out in the sticks.
Yeah.
Now it's, completely part of the Chicago metroplex of suburbs that never end. Just, endless.
Yes. Endless malls.
Endless malls sprawl mall.
Yeah. Lived in Warrenville till third grade. Then we moved to Indianapolis. Lived there through sixth grade. Moved back to Wheaton near Warrenville for 7th and 8th grade. Moved to Philadelphia for 9th and part of 10th grade.
That's lost
moved
years.
Moved back to Wheaton for the rest of sophomore year, junior year, and high school.
How was your circle of friends?
Senior.
You don't have
I
any
made no
circle
friends.
Of friends.
I tell you, every time I moved, I was behind in something in school and usually sat at the back of the class and just hid from everybody and everything.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get called on.
Yeah.
I was a terrible student. I didn't do well in school ever. I got C's and D's mostly, and a few F's along the way, but didn't get held back.
That's why we get along.
Push them along. Yeah.
Push them along.
I have a similar background.
Yeah. And then next question. After high school.
Wow. How'd you end up in Richland Center?
Oh, that's I still got a few stops along the way here. Now,
you do?
Oh, my gosh. Where have you not lived?
After high school... I went to Graham Junior College. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I listened to radio a lot. Mm-hmm. I always loved radio, and growing up in Chicagoland, it was WLS or WCFL, the top 40 stations.
Love those stations.
I know. Mm-hmm. Art Roberts, we talked about this era.
Yeah.
Art Roberts, Dex Card,
Ron
Arnie
Riley.
Pip, Ron Riley, all the great Chicago DJs. And back then, DJs were kind of the stars of the show. They played the music to support their personalities. And they were... Really part of the show. They were part of the show. They were why you listened.
And P.S. chose their own music.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the early days.
And of course, the Beatles were happening. That was my first love of, Beatles was listening through Top 40 radio.
One of the things I found out about, you know, a lot of these radio announcers, like at WLS and in Milwaukee, too, they had their fingers in production. They were producing a lot of the rock and roll groups that were regionally popular at the time.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it was during the days of payola, too, sometimes taking some money under the table to play their records.
Had to be careful with that stuff.
Had to be careful. But one of the DJs there, really, the one that really grabbed me was Larry Luchak.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Because he was sarcastic, kind of snarly, but funny, funny as hell. And I really gravitated toward Larry Luchak and Animal Stories.
Yep, Animal Stories.
Tommy Edwards.
Hugely popular.
Great stuff. So I didn't know what I wanted to do after high school. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I didn't know. But my mother had been in radio, and she kind of said, you know, and she was very artistic, and she was a painter and a poet, and she did all kinds of things. She was a theater actress. She was on Broadway a couple of times.
Come on.
Yeah. And so, you know, I started thinking about radio a little bit. And I had done high school radio during forensics.
No,
they had
no
radio
kidding.
Competitions, you know, radio news competition. And I did okay with those. I never got firsts, but I got a lot of second places.
Wow.
And
forensics, big in the Midwest.
Forensics, yes. Yeah. So I wanted to go to a radio school, and I went out to Boston to Graham Junior College, and that's where I started to learn the chops and learn how to splice tape and run cart machines and clean them and all that stuff.
What year?
Reel to reel. That would have been 1972.
Oh, way
Boston.
Before me. I didn't get to Boston until 83.
Ah, lived right on Commonwealth Avenue, right near the Citgo sign, and watched that Citgo sign while various illegal substances were being passed around the dorms.
You too?
Yes. Watch the trails coming off of those Citgo signs.
No comment.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Trails coming off the Citgo signs.
And then moved back to the Midwest and didn't really know if I could get a radio job because I didn't really graduate from Graham Junior College.
You guys are such
diplomas.
Finishers.
Who needs one? I don't know. I know how to splice tape.
Justification.
It took a few years. I started, I got married the first time. And then moved to Richland Center. And just because I drove around southern Wisconsin, my sister had a dairy farm. How much time we got left? And you guys ask me more questions. But
no,
anyway,
you're good.
Started a little music store in Richland Center that didn't last long, a couple of years, but I taught guitar lessons.
You started the store?
I started a store.
Usually you go from radio to getting your own record store.
Yes.
I did that. I started this store. Sold records and tapes and guitar lessons. Sold some guitars and amplifiers, and then that business didn't do well in Little Richland Center, and it was tough. And I moved back. My parents at that time moved to Richland Center too. Mm-hmm. After I had moved there, they moved there because it was near my sister. Well, anyway, long story short,
that's what they do. They move.
And I bounced back. I was about 25 years old. Came back. I had no job. I got divorced. My first wife left me because the store failed, and she went away. And my dad gave me a great advice. He said, "Go out and get a job.
Get yourself
any job.
A
J-O-B. You're not living here long. You get a job, and then when you get a job, you look for a better job. That's how it works. Get anything to start." And I was looking through, and I
good
found
advice.
There was an advertising sales job at WNNO in Wisconsin Dells.
Oh, my gosh.
And I went over there, and I applied, and I applied again. I came back two or three times for interviews. They didn't know whether they wanted to hire me. I didn't have much experience.
I know. You don't have that voice for radio.
I know. It sucks.
Really.
And so,
what a waste of time.
But eventually, this guy keeps coming back. Let's just hire him and then, you know, see what happens.
Yeah.
And that was the start of it.
Did you sell?
Wow.
I sold radio. Yeah, I sold. And then that's where I learned to write radio commercials.
Ah.
Because the Dells, as we all know, big tourist trap. And we had a lot of advertisers. And so we cranked out commercials all day, you know, all in the summertime when it was a summertime resort. It was just nothing but writing commercials and cranking them out. So I did hundreds and hundreds of commercials
over
the next 3 or 4 years.
Nailed it.
Eventually got a job at, I think my next station was Z104. I did continuity there.
Right here to Madison.
Yeah, to Madison.
So you worked in continuity in traffic.
I did.
Trafficking the commercials.
That's when commercials were paid. DJs could make money doing commercials. They actually got a voice fee.
Yeah.
Well, these were the old days.
Yeah.
So I would have to divvy them out evenly to the DJs. Yeah. And, you know, there was a certain voice for that commercial or this voice for a motorcycle commercial.
I do the Chevy,
commercial.
You do the Ford.
Yes, yeah. All that kind of stuff. So I did that under Jonathan W. Little. Cool. He was a legend.
Cool. He certainly is.
Yeah. And so then I went to IBA, AM, and
still haven't met John MAD. Peterson at this point?
No, I went to MAD the first time before I met John, and then I bounced around to, oh God, WILV.
Yeah.
Eventually got into television when Fox 47 started up. Was there the first day it was on the air.
Again, promotion director.
Promotion director and also selling, and then did some on-air work. And
Sam doesn't even know. Fox didn't always exist.
Oh, well,
ABC, CBS, NBC. Yeah.
But I was never alive in the time of pre-cable or anything like that.
That's crazy. So you were on the first iteration of Fox.
Yes.
Locally.
And then Fox Television came along about 6 months later. So it wasn't initially a Fox station, but it was an independent station.
Gotcha.
Running lots of reruns and old movies. I met John the first day that we opened. Grand opening June 6th, 1986 was the first day it was on the air. And I knew we had a mutual friend, Krista Lane.
Yes.
Who worked there. And I said, Krista, I listen to Peterson all the time on IBA FM. You got to introduce me.
He's easy. Just say a few compliments and you got him.
You got him. Don't worry.
And I eventually,
he'll love you.
I eventually hired, we said hello. We got to hang out a little bit. I hired him to do some voice work at Fox 47.
The voice of Fox 47.
You Come
were.
On.
You yeah. were. And then we started doing the late night movie show together, Night Owl Theater. And then eventually we changed the name to
Big Sky Theater.
Thank you. I never. Why did we change the?
There's no know.
Reason at all. And that was a lot of fun. And we started working at MAD together.
Yeah, and cable access.
Okay, we got a minute left.
Now you did a good job.
Yeah,
I'm out of breath.
You got it all out there.
What else?
And now you're slowly going broke doing radio for me. You're welcome.
Eventually, I got into television doing TV weather. I did that for 20 years. Moved to South Bend, Indiana for most of those years. And
PBS.
Came back and,
yeah, you're known in South Bend.
Also PBS. What?
You're
me?
Known in South Bend.
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a statue up there.
It's been defaced many times.
I know.
Somebody
they
broke
keep
their nose off.
The head on
pigeon crap all over it. I don't know. They threw it in the back 40. Nobody looks at it anymore. Okay. Oh, God.
This is a good day.
A lot of pressure,
like,
huh?
Yeah. I think I'm going to go start drinking now.
Yeah, well, we can. It's over.
Can we do this?
Yes.
Oh, we got more. Though.
We do?
We got your story
next.
Coming up
oh,
next,
I'm
Catherine.
Not saying yes,
you tried
anything.
To try and interrogate.
Forget it.
We'll be back with Catherine Lake's story after this on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is your life.
Talking to myself here is causing great concern for my health. Where is your head, Catherine? Where is your head?
I can't believe you found
that. Trying hard to
I used that for my opening of my very first radio show on WORT.
Okay.
Right here in Madison.
We'll get to that in a moment.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all we need to know.
Okay.
We heard John's life story. We heard Sam's. And then, you know, I spilled my guts all over the place. And now it's your turn, Catherine
Pretty
Lake.
Gory.
Can you loosen the ropes so I can just, you know, relax while we do this interview?
You've got the light bulb right over your head.
That's right.
You can start sweating anytime.
I can feel the water dripping on my forehead.
It's not as hot as it used to be now with these new LED lights.
Yes, all right. We tried.
But it's bright.
Okay, so we'll get to that theme song in just a moment.
Yeah.
You know, from your very first time on radio.
Yes.
But we want to, you know, go all the way back to where it all began with Catherine Lake.
When you were born.
Yeah,
nobody
where
cares.
Where and when.
You have 7 minutes. You really want to do
okay.
this.
Okay. Right. Well,
I was
right.
born
well,
in Jersey. I was born in
that's
Jersey.
It.
You have that Jersey accent.
I have that Jersey accent.
Yeah. Well,
definitely
of-
definitely the East Coast mentality. Mm-hmm. What part of Jersey?
Yeah.
Kinnelon.
Okay.
Never
well,
heard
that
of
doesn't add to our information.
Okay. They were only there for 2 years. It was apparently the best house they've ever had, and everything after that sucked.
It was downhill.
But yeah, they said I was an accident. I was a surprise. So they decided they had to move to Philly. He got another job in Philly. My dad was retired military, but got into business and chased around for a while, Philly, 2 years, and then Schenectady by the time I was four. And I spent the whole time in Schenectady growing up.
So let's figure out your family here. So that was Dad. What about Mom?
Mom was a church organist and a pianist, a musician. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My sister is 10 years older than me, looks 10 years younger than me, and is way cuter. And she never got above 5'2", so screw her. But she's a professional musician. She just retired from playing the oboe with the Virginia Symphony for 35 years.
Wow.
Or so.
And you have a brother, too?
I have a brother. He's in sales. He's always been in sales. He sells bread, and he sold plates, and then he sold Oneida Silver, and he's now
door to door.
No, yes, he goes door to door, and now he sells booze. Yes, door to door.
Okay, wow. All right. Well, let's fast forward through your childhood years, and we'll get to high school. And where did you go to high school?
All in Schenectady, Niskayuna High School.
What?
The year I graduated.
What did you say?
Niskayuna.
Niskayuna?
We are full of native names in my area. Schenectady is a native name, I believe. I'm not certain about that, but Niskayuna certainly is. We played against Iroquois. That was one of the junior highs. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, Niskayuna. And it was named the best school in the country the year I graduated.
Were you in any extracurricular activities at school?
Like music. I tried soccer 1 year, but it did not work with my musical schedule. All right. So I just did music.
Yeah. You have a natural curiosity. Not the newspaper, though. Not the school newspaper.
No, I couldn't. I didn't have time. Music took everything. Oh, I had to practice the violin.
Yes, you were very good at the violin.
I was pretty good.
But that's... You're not doing that anymore.
No, I knew by the third month in college majoring in music that I was not going to become a musician. I just had to grind through 4 years and get out.
So how did you find yourself in radio?
Let's
get to that part.
Lord.
And moving to the Midwest?
Well, I got into arts management. I can do that. I knew that I understood the arts at a deep level. And so I managed the orchestra in college and then got a job a couple of years after graduating college managing the youth orchestra I played in. I was the executive director.
Okay.
I got fired after 2 years. I was not good at it. It was way too big a job for a 23 or 4-year-old.
Yeah.
So what do you do when you get fired from a job, but you have 2 years on your resume? You go take another job just like that in Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I came and managed the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestra, but they figured out in 4 months that I was ill-equipped and dumped my ass, rightfully so. As a matter of fact, afterward, they called me back to say, you know, the secretary that the president hired was stealing money. And she was putting as per Catherine on it. So I had to go and talk to the police. Like, did not have anything to do with this. I was just a really bad, stupid manager.
So you have a bit of a criminal background.
I have a bit of a criminal background.
And then you got into radio.
And then I answered an ad in the paper.
Natural.
You know, I'm looking for jobs. I just look for a new, what am I going to do with myself?
Yeah.
And, I answered an ad for Wart. Mm-hmm. Morning show. Sure, that sounds like fun.
You got it.
And I got it, and it goes from there. Yeah.
Okay, in the minute and a half that we have left,
yes.
Tell us how you got from Wart to here at Civic Media. There are other stations in between, but we got to rip through them here.
About a half dozen to eight stations in Madison, got into commercial radio with Glenn Gardner, Talk, Magic 98, all the stations, practically every station in town, just whipping through. And then 2 years in L.A. with Westwood One doing a show overnights that puts you on 6 million radios, apparently.
Yeah.
Traffic with Shadow Traffic. Got into a helicopter one time. Couldn't take it because their headphones are so tight.
Couldn't
do it.
Yeah.
And then back to Madison.
Yeah.
Because it's L.A. and it's awful.
Yeah.
So I came back here.
There.
And then my stupid ex-husband, pardon me, I got to drink something.
You're all choked up now.
I know.
Okay, well, it's...
He found out the helicopter was just a shadow, and that didn't really work out well.
you really got the story, right? So then back to Madison, and then I got married and went off to Chicago and spent 22 years with WGN.
Oh.
And then came to Civic Media a little more than a year ago.
Answered an ad.
Yeah.
Small town radio in Chicago, and you came back here.
I had
to.
I had to.
Excellent.
Yeah. And the rest is history.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating?
It is fascinating. Thank you for sharing all of that with us.
Thanks for sharing.
Can I take off the mask now?
You can, yeah. You can relax now. Okay. We will be back with more of our Day After Christmas show. What? Oh, we're done for the day?
This is the end of the show, Gordy.
We're done. Okay. See you tomorrow.
Wow.
Bye.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.